going to go ahead and start with testimony. Representative Woodard, if you'd like to start with your testimony, and then we're waiting for one more person to get a quorum here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill, House File Number 1607, there is an amendment to it, and I know we won't move until you get a quorum. But what this amendment does is require the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety to put together a report, an annual report, on the safety and security situation here at the Capitol Complex. And the reason why this is important is following some events earlier this year, the governor put together a task force that include lawmakers and members of his staff to look at Capitol security. And we found that there were some inconsistencies, some things that really needed to be addressed. And the result is this bill. And it allows, again, the commissioner to not only report on the status of Capitol Complex security, but it also clarifies some language on the state patrol. Today, if there's a threat against a legislator or a constitutional officer or a member of the Supreme Court, it's not clear who's responsible for the protection duties of those individuals. And so this allows, clarifies in the bill that the State Patrol does have the ability, in consultation with the governor, that the commissioner can provide security in those cases, in those extreme cases of risk to those members of the either the legislature or the executive branch. And Mr. Chairman, that is as simple as this bill gets. So we'll.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Woodard, just one other question. You talked about constitutional officers, members of the governor. Does that also include his cabinet, and does it also include House staff as well in that? Because they can sometimes be parties to some of those kinds of undesirable events as well.
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, no. We wanted to limit it. We know that we're aware of some issues that have occurred in that category as well. But we wanted to limit the bill to just those particular areas.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions on the amendment? All right, we're not able to vote on that right now, but why don't we proceed? Do you want to give your comment on the bill?
Sure. Chair Murray and members, the initial bill before the amendment, we wanted to put together a commission that would look at this. And after talking to interested parties, including the Senate counterpart, as well as interested parties, we decided another commission is not what we needed. That what we needed really was the authority for the commissioner to meet with interested parties to put together the security plan. And the need for a commission was not there at this point. And there was also some questions about open meeting requirements when we had a commission like that. And so in talking with some people who had privacy advocates who had some issues with the open meeting requirement, we decided it was better just to have the just to direct the commissioner to meet with interested parties to put together this annual report. In fact, I think it's a better bill as a result of that, and I think it streamlines the bill and allows for us to move forward quickly.
Okay, are there any questions for the author of the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that public safety wants to see this bill as well, so when
that
we are
correct.
Prepared to move the bill.
Yes, we'll be moving this bill to public safety. We're going to wait just a minute here. We'll recess for a minute. We're trying to grab one more member so we have a quorum.
And I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I usually have more controversial bills that inspire people to show up.
And we apologize, too. We usually have more people.
Yeah, we should have had this room yesterday.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure what happened.
Well, the Racina was in our old room, I think, is the problem. So, and they had a factory. Overflow, yeah.
With no board.
Yeah, information. Testimony only.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mazerall looks like he's ready to step in if you want a B player on the committee.
We may hear his bill.
Representative Simon just entered the room.
There we go. Okay. We have a quorum, so.
Call it to order.
Let's call the meeting to order. Representative O'Driscoll, would you like to move Representative Woodard's bill, and it will be going to public safety.
Mr. Chair, I move House File 1607 to be heard and passed and recommended for approval and to move to public safety.
Okay, thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. So first of all, let's go ahead and pass the A, it's the A3 amendment, is that correct? Okay. Any questions on the A3 amendment?
I'll also move the A3 amendment.
Okay, Representative O'Driscoll moves the A3 amendment. All in favor of the A3 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, A3 amendment is hereby adopted. And now on to the bill. Anyone have any questions for Representative Woodard on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I can give just the 30 seconds for Representative Simon. It's a fairly, I know this is dangerous territory, but it's a fairly non-controversial bill. This is based on the Governor's Task Force on Capitol Complex Security. The result of that task force was we identified there were some inconsistencies and we needed to clean up some language and how to respond to Capitol Complex Security issues. And the result is a requirement for the Commissioner to provide an annual report after meeting with interested parties, and also allows the State Patrol, when it needs to, after consultation with the Governor, to provide protection to members of the legislature, constitutional officers, and members of the Supreme Court when they're threatened.
Okay, any additional questions from the members? Hearing none, anybody in the audience that wishes to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Representative O'Driscoll renews his motion that House File 1607 be recommended to pass and referred to the Public Safety Committee.
What's that? As amended.
Yes, as amended. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Amendment
is passed. Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you. Representative Mazerol. Mr. Black, welcome to the committee also.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Tim, Your Honor, Representative O'Driscoll, you're on a roll. Would you like to move this bill? And where are we going here? This is going to... Okay, are we going to the General Register?
Mr. Chair, this would go to the General Register.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House File 1643, recommend approval, and move to the General Register.
Okay. Representative O'Driscoll has moved House File 1643. Representative Mazerol, welcome to the committee. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1643 is the 2011 housekeeping bill for the Office of the Secretary of State, and I have three author's amendments to offer.
Okay, let's go ahead and take those in order. So okay. First we have the A1.
The A1 amendment, which is proposed and requested by the Minnesota State Bar Association and has been accepted into the bill by the Secretary of State.
Okay, move the A1 amendment.
Okay, Representative O'Driscoll moves the A1 amendment. Are there any questions from the members on the A1 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment is approved. Okay, let's move on to the A2 amendment.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members, the A2 amendment is a definitional amendment to define a term that's used throughout the bill, the term attempt to provide notice.
Okay, Representative.
I'll move the A2 amendment.
Okay, A2 amendment is moved. Are there any questions from the members on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment is hereby adopted. And then
my third amendment, Mr. Chair, is an oral amendment.
Okay. Go ahead, Representative Mazerol.
And it's the amendment is to delete sections 2 and 3 of the bill. That would be lines 1.21 through 1.27 and lines 2.1 through 2.17. These are sections relating to the management of Social Security numbers by the Office of the Secretary of State for those numbers inadvertently coming into their possession.
Okay. Do you want to explain that just a little bit further, and then we'll ask Ms. Dyson if she has that down?
Yes, Mr. Chair. those two provisions in particular relate to the obligation on the Secretary of State's office to redact numbers as they're that have inadvertently come into their possession. I can have Mr. Black speak to that a little bit, but it's because of the removal of these position provisions that this bill can go to the general register. We felt this was something that could be an issue for the data practices data privacy committee, and there was some concern over those provisions.
All right, thank you. Does anybody wish to hear any additional testimony on that? Okay, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, Mr. Black, are we going to, in the future, be working on, in the like next year, try and get this solved? We have more time.
Mr. Black, please state your name for the tape and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I am Bert Black, legal advisor to the Office of the Secretary of State and an attorney with the office since 1981. And Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson, yes, we are going to work on this during the interim. We'll be working with Representative Masral and others, our stakeholders, other legislators. These are just a very short description of why we have this problem. Social Security numbers are not required. We don't want Social Security numbers in UCC filings. UCC filings are for secured financing when you put up collateral for a loan, like let's say you borrow money and put up a John Deere tractor. Well, unfortunately, we occasionally get we get several hundred UCC numbers each year, or Social Security numbers on UCC filings each year, and of course those are now private data for documents coming since December 1st of 2010. And so it is an issue in terms of the manual effort that's required to redact those, but we're going to work on a solution during the interim.
Okay, any additional questions on the oral amendment? Ms. Dyson, do you have that down? Could you please give us the details? Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, the oral amendment is to amend House File 1643, page 1, delete section 2, page 2, delete section 3, renumber the sections in sequence, correct internal references, and amend the title accordingly.
Okay.
I'll handwrite it out and provide it to the
Thank
committee
you very
staff.
Much. Any questions on the oral amendment? Hearing none, all in favor of the oral let's see, have we moved the oral Representative?
Move the oral amendment.
Thank you very much. All in favor of the oral amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The oral amendment is hereby adopted. Now on to the bill. Representative Masral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I will turn it over to Mr. Black to explain the technical provisions of the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members and Representative Masral. The Office of the Secretary of State administers many chapters of law that involve the registration of business entities and secured financing in Minnesota, including the filing of corporations, limited liability companies, and other entities, as well as filings under the Uniform Commercial Code. These laws are reviewed every year by our internal line staff, who recommend law changes that will make the filing and retrieval process, as well as other aspects of law, simpler and more consistent across the business types. We have 8 or 9 different business types in Minnesota. The review process also proceeds with an eye towards automation of those functions. And of course, automation is done more efficiently when each function and each business entity type is processed in the same manner. The proposals in this bill are the result of that staff review. And you have in your packets, I believe, a section-by-section summary of the bill. It's a 2-page document, as well as a 1-page summary of the concepts addressed by the bill. These concepts are, first of all, that the office issues certificates to businesses when certain important transactions occur. In this bill, we propose 6 sections that make the format of the certificates more standard and that remove unnecessary requirements that are currently in law for some of these certificates. And of course, when you have variation in the requirements in the certificates, that's they're really unnecessary. That makes the process less efficient. The office also files a very small number of business trusts and municipal power and gas agency filings. We get about 10 business trusts a year, and we have over the last 50 years received 7 or 8 municipal power and gas agency filings. We propose to amend 6 sections to simplify the filing process and end the issuance of certificates for these filings, as well as repealing two sections that allow a business trust to convert to a nonprofit filing, which is a process that has been used once decades ago by an organization that lobbied for the provision. So it's really unnecessary at this point. The office issues many notices to businesses. While we currently use U.S. mail and pay postage, about two sessions ago we obtained legislative permission to use email if the business provides an email address. We are proposing seven sections to clean up in the wake of that a number of specific references to mail to allow for email notice and to count the notice as provided when we send the email to the address provided in the by the company, just as you would count the notice as sent when the letter was placed in the U.S. mailbox. We propose legislation to give limited liability partnerships the same treatment as other business types when they wish to use an alternate name in this state and when they have failed to maintain a registered agent when one is required. They will now follow, under the proposals in the bill, the same rules as other businesses registered with the office. And then finally, we also propose the elimination of extension after duration. This proposal, or this provision, allowed for business entities to continue after their corporate duration had expired. In the early part of the last century, a corporation could only exist for 30 years. That was sometime in the before 1933. Since 1933, perpetual duration has been permitted, and since at least in the last 30 years, that has been the default position. So the duration is now perpetual unless the business adopts a shorter time. Because of that, the extension provisions are no longer necessary. Nobody has used this provision since 2005. And we propose in the repealing five sections that are relating to this. And Mr. Chairman and members, that's the bill, and glad to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Representative Simon.
Just a quick question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Black, I assume that you've heard no objection from the business community, who, after all, are the ones filling out these forms. I assume that either they're silent or there's been no opposition.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Simon, that is correct. We have distributed, shared this language with the business law section of the Bar Association back in February, and I asked for them to also share it with their colleagues and clients, and we've heard no opposition.
Okay. Any additional questions from any of the members? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on this bill? Seeing none, Representative O'Driscoll renews his motion that House File 1643 be recommended to pass as amended and be placed on the general register. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The bill is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'll now take up Senate File 1135. Okay, Representative Gottwald is in conference committee. Who should we have? We're going to the general register.
Representative
O'Driscoll.
I will move Senate File 1135 to be approved and referred to the general register. And the nature of this bill, if you would like me just to kind of go through, I've had a chance to read it in the absence of Representative Gottwald. There's a task force that has been created here in the state of Minnesota dealing with maternal and child health matters. And the advisory task force consists of 15 people and is scheduled to terminate on June 30th of 2011. Representative Gottwald is requesting us to allow for an extension on that to the June 30th of 2015. And that is a task force that's made up of interested community members, some from the health industry, some community health boards, and other consumer representatives interested in child and maternal health.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't have any opposition to this, but just for the record, I want to note that task force costs money, and I don't know if this one, what the cost of this is. We're not a fiscal committee, and we don't have a fiscal note, but just want to ask the question, make sure that we find out before this gets taken up on the floor whether there's whether that cost has been accounted for in the bottom line.
All right.
And
I believe we have somebody here that maybe could address that question. Please approach and tell us your name. And
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Maggie Diebel. I'm the director of the Community and Family Health Division at the Minnesota Department of Health. There is a small cost to this committee. However, the costs are garnered from our federal maternal and child health block grant that we receive on an annual basis.
That answers the question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Diebel.
Any additional questions? Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to speak on this bill? Okay, seeing nobody, Representative O'Driscoll renews his motion that Senate File 1135 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It was passed. Yeah. Representative Loeffler, House File 1645. Representative Green. Would you like to move this? And we're going to environment. Representative Green.
Oral amendment for an EIS.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move this bill and move that it move from here to
environment.
In the environment.
Okay, thank you. Representative Green moves House File 1645 be recommended to pass and sent to the Environment Committee. Representative Loeffler, welcome to the committee. Please present your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for taking up this bill. What this bill does is change the governance of the Hennepin County Soil and Water Conservation District from oversight by a small elected body to responsibility of the Hennepin County Board. And I am a huge advocate of elections and accountability to the people and transparency, and it's unusual for me to be carrying a bill like this. If you want to see a copy of my comment card, I actually have a little poem that I wrote on making a difference for democracy on it. But I think for democracy to be effective, you have to have, one, an understanding by the public, the voter, of what the office is and what it does and what it takes for leadership given its responsibilities, and two, you need to know what are the qualities and attributes of the candidates so you can make a wise choice between them about who should provide that leadership and governance. And I was an election judge before I was elected to office. And I have to say, one of the biggest complaints that I would hear, my people love to vote. I mean, they show up in huge numbers. We're one of the highest voting areas of the city of Minneapolis. But they would always complain about being asked to vote for an office in which they didn't know anything about what they did or about who was running for it and what their qualifications were, what their passions were, what they intended to do with the office. And so as an election judge, I felt the most frequent question we got was, do I have to vote for all these people? I don't know who they are. I don't know what they do. And we would always say, no, you can vote for all the offices or one of the offices. It's your choice as a citizen to decide what you want to do. We ran into a problem in Hennepin County in the early 2000s with the election of some people who weren't perhaps up to managing the office responsibilities. There was coverage in the press and other things and some turmoil. And so we know that there are risks when people are just picking names, that you won't always get the best and the brightest. This, we are only proposing this for Hennepin County, which has 1.2 million people. That's almost a fourth of the state's population. Even if you were just to send a postcard to the registered voters, I think it would cost you probably $150,000 to $200,000 to just even let people know who you are. And there's no understanding of what this office is. I know my Mississippi Watershed Management Organization, which is all appointed members, and they're in our local press. I know who's been appointed to their board. They do outreach. You can't do outreach to 1.2 million people with the kind of budget resources they have. Since 2003, all the work has been done by Hennepin County staff in a cooperative agreement with the with the Conservation District, as I understand it, and that has worked out really well. Hennepin County and the state agencies still have all the oversight that everyone has for everything else. The accountability is there. The county board meetings are, you know, televised. People do know who their county commissioner is if they feel like things aren't going right. And so when Hennepin County approached me about carrying this bill, I agreed to it because of my experiences as an election judge and as someone who really believes that you need to know what the office is and who it is who's running. But you still need that transparency and accountability. Commissioner Jeff Johnson, former State Representative Jeff Johnson, was here all yesterday. Unfortunately, weren't able to get to him, but he has provided some written information. I have with me Rosemary Lavin, who's the Assistant Director of Environmental Services for Hennepin County, to provide additional information.
Thank you, Representative Lafler. If you'll state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, and thank you, Representative Lafler. My name is Rosemary Lavin. I'm Assistant Director with Hennepin County Environmental Services, and I would like to just read the comments that Commissioner Jeff Johnson provided, and then I'll just make a few additional remarks and try to be brief. And I've got copies that I can have distributed. Hennepin County is seeking to terminate the Hennepin Conservation District and transfer their remaining program responsibilities to the county in order to improve the delivery of conservation services. In 2003, the county board discontinued funding for the district due to their internal turmoil and negative effects of the organization. For the past 8 years, the district has functioned at a minimal level, initially with one staff member relying on cash reserves along with the Board of Water and Soil Resources grant funding, to ultimately relying completely on the county. Recognizing that they were unable to provide services, the district approached the county and established a cooperative agreement with the county board for environmental services personnel to deliver all conservation services in the county. County staff has managed all state-mandated programs not limited to site plan reviews, watershed management planning, conservation engineering services, and environmental education since 2007. When county environmental service personnel began delivering land and water conservation services, property tax-supported expenditures were reduced by $250,000 annually. The elimination of the district board will result in additional savings of approximately $36,000 that heretofore have been necessary for district board administration, meetings, minutes, and reporting. The termination of the district, along with the transfer of duties related to the Wetland Conservation Act, will streamline the delivery of conservation services by decreasing the number of entities involved and focusing resources toward necessary projects. Protecting and improving water and soil resources in Hennepin County is challenging, given its wide range of land uses that include Class A office buildings and agricultural fields. Additionally, the physical size of Hennepin County, combined with its population, require diverse and oftentimes unique approaches to manage the county's water and soil resources. While the Soil and Water Conservation District structure may work well in many counties, it no longer functions effectively for the citizens of Hennepin County. And I just like to emphasize the fact that we are asking for this for Hennepin County only and placing it in the Hennepin County statute. As you can see from the commissioner's remarks, Hennepin County is in a very unique situation regarding conservation services. We've been delivering those services within the Department of Environmental Services of Hennepin County since 2003. And with that transition of all those services to Hennepin County, the Hennepin Conservation District Board has been left with very little responsibility and with no staff and very little in terms of monetary resources. The responsibilities of that board are very few. Essentially, their voting is reduced to issuing a cost share grant, which is in the amount of $12,000 in Hennepin County. There are very little things that they come to the board to discuss and actually vote on. They're not a visible organization, as Representative Lafler has indicated in her comments, not like the county board that's very visible, very able to receive citizen input from its citizens directly, as well as through the organizations that it deals directly with, including cities and watershed management organizations. This is an opportunity to streamline government and to reduce the resources that are spent on administration of a board that, given the situation in Hennepin County, the very unique situation, there's money going into administration that could be put into on-the-ground projects and into work on the field to protect natural resources. This is a more efficient way of delivering services for Hennepin County, and I very much appreciate you considering this this bill, and I will answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Lavin. Questions from members? Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A lot of this is more comment than it is question. Personally, this sounds exactly like what Ramsey County is going through, and so I don't know that Hennepin County is isolated in this. I understand your issue and that you want to just do that, but I think that overall we need to be looking at the situation in a broader sense. So I hope that you'll be taking it and working on it in the interim to hopefully get a broader solution. I just want to comment that the reason I know a lot of this is because we've been studying the declining lake level in White Bear Lake. And when I decided to get involved to bring all the stakeholders together, I was amazed at the number of people who had jurisdiction over water in my community. The White Bear Conservation District, the Vanis Lake Area Water Management Organization, the Ramsey County Soil and Waters Conservation District, the Rice Creek Watershed District, the MPCA, Bowser, DNR. There are so many layers, and I think this has to be streamlined. And while I understand that Hennepin County would like this done and quickly, I think Ramsey County might like to entertain this too. So I hope that there can be some broader discussion as we move forward with this bill so that that can also be addressed.
Thank you, Representative McFarland.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Laughlin.
One of the things that I did want to add, and I do think this is an area that probably has bigger issues than just this, and perhaps Hennepin can function as a pilot and see whether or not people are comfortable with this, and we can certainly report back. But I do want to say that I know many of the people who have stepped up to serve on this are people who are passionate and care about our environment and have done their best. I think it was an aberration that we had a period of time early in 2003 that we did end up electing a pretty dysfunctional board that had some people who didn't have perhaps that same level of commitment and ability to work well with others. But that's the risk in electing when people, the electorate doesn't know the names and they don't know the function, that you can end up with sort of an aberration in the election result.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In response to that, what I found also when I checked with all these different organizations, some are elected and some are appointed, and I don't know that they always know what their qualifications are when they do that, too. So I'm not trying to be difficult, but it is an issue.
Representative Nelson.
Just a comment to Representative McFarland is that I'd look at what she's bringing up, similar to when we have all these bills to change certain elected offices at county levels. County auditors is a good one that we keep getting individual bills from year to year, and there's been many discussions over the years that I've been here of why don't we just do a blanket and allow that for the whole state, and then there's other individuals that have the bill, and Representative Westrum is one that would like to have all of them revert back to elected officials. So I mean, I see it, I agree with what Representative McFarland is saying, that we probably need to look at those and look at where they can be streamlined, but in this case here they're trying to do it themselves, and I don't think we should hold this bill up until we get an agreement statewide or even metro-wide on dealing with that. So I think this is a good bill. We should pass it out of here and move it forward today.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Loeffler, for bringing this bill. And I get the sort of need for this. But what I don't necessarily see in Commissioner Johnson's letter or the bill itself is, and maybe staff from Environmental Services could comment as well, is can you just fill us in generally about then the plan moving forward? Because I want to make sure that the environmental issues here are addressed. And, you know, you touched on that a little bit in your comments. But in addition to the action we're taking here, how can Hennepin County residents be assured that these vast wetland and other water resources, you know, will be protected? It's always a concern of mine when we engage in public sector streamlining.
Ms. Lavin?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, this bill will provide for the transfer of the Wetland Conservation Act responsibilities from the district to Hennepin County. That's a statutory change that we need to make in order to continue to enforce wetland protection. So that will be covered. This bill will also address another remaining responsibility that goes through the district board, is to inspect Reinvest in Minnesota easements, and to give us the authority to do that in Hennepin County. As I had stated in my remarks and as the commissioner in his, since 2003, we've been delivering the other conservation services in terms of providing technical assistance to landowners for implementation of natural resources practices, environmental education, monitoring of wetlands and stream health through volunteers. All of that has become an integral part of the county's environmental services department, and those programs will be continued to be carried out. This bill just takes those remaining couple of statutory programs and allows the county to do those. We've been doing them since 2003. They're part of our program. We will be continuing to do them. We work with many partners on the protection of natural resources, so we rely, too, on the work of the cities, the watershed management organizations, and other agencies to do this work. So what we're saying here is that we want to continue the program work and eliminate the administrative burden on this, but we do want to continue the programs, and we feel that the Wetland Conservation Act program is very important to continue, and that was one of the reasons why we called that out specifically in the bill.
Representative Hornstein, you. Follow-up?
No, thank you.
Okay,
that's
you.
Very helpful.
Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just kind of curious how the Hennepin Conservation District Board feels about this. Have they been working through the process, or are they, some of them feeling like they're losing something?
Hear from it. My understanding is that they have discussed this. They have not taken a position on it. So I think that says there's mixed feelings within the group. Because they understand the difficulty of running in a county of 1.2 million people, and at the same time, I mean, they share the passion for the work of, you know, oversight. So I mean, I think there's those mixed feelings. But I can't speak for them. I think they can speak for themselves.
Any other member questions on the bill that's before us? Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Whoever can answer this. Do the people that are elected to your conservation board, do they get paid? Is there a cost to the county on that?
Mr. Chair, Representative McFarland, they do get a per diem for attending the board meetings. And I believe it's $55 a meeting, and that's covered through there's a general services grant that Bowser provides to the district, which currently is in the neighborhood of about $25,000 a year. That's one of the things that's covered there. There are a number of other things, dues that they pay to being part of associations, insurance, and then there are just the general needs for covering the administrative costs. That all goes for that.
Any other member questions? If not, is there anyone from the public who'd like to testify on the matter before us? Please come down. Good morning and welcome to the committee. Not sure which of you would like to go first, but if you would please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Leanne Buck. I'm the executive director for the Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Our board is opposed to this bill. The concern we have is that one elected board is removing another elected board. And again, soil and water districts provide private landowners, work with private landowners on a voluntary conservation practices. We have citizen board members. We do not have taxing authority. So our funding does come from the county, it does come from the state, and it does come in some places from the federal government. So this bill essentially terminates the district, including the citizen board, in a board that allows for some knowledgeable group of citizens to provide some thoughtful analysis and overview of the conservation programs. In the statute, the way it currently is written, there is a way for the electorate for the dissolution of a district, and that is through a referendum. The district has gone through that process 10 years ago. The electorate did decide that they still wanted to keep a Hennepin Conservation District. So again, we're saying the electorate pit is advocating, and we do realize the county is providing the staff services. But again, we're concerned that removing a thoughtful board to look at the issues. And so again, the other issue too is the precedent that is being set, started here. You mentioned it, that it's happening through other state in other areas. And again, we feel a strong need for a citizen board to help look at these issues. As one county commissioner told me in another area, we like having a soil and water district board that is focused on natural resources. We have our plate full with transportation issues, with jails, with a whole host of other issues. So again, to have advocacy for the natural resources on a voluntary basis. So with that, again, we look forward to possibly working through this in the interim, and again, acknowledging the state's a big player in this as a special purpose unit of the state. Obviously, there are things and grants, and again, we're looking at how can we collectively work together. So thank you for your time today, and I'd like to turn it over to Kim Boyce with the Hennepin Conservation.
Ms. Buck, before we do that, we do have a member question. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Buck, thank you for your work, and I guess I would ask you and maybe the other witness when he's finished, the same question I asked the Hennepin County folks, which is I'm very, just have concerns about just the environmental piece of this and making sure that the work is getting done. And so if you have some thoughts about that as well as
Ms. Buck.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein. I think the concerns, again, is a lot of districts are doing their programs that are directed by the legislature through state cost share, through RIM programs, through the Wetland Conservation Act. This piece of legislation just refers to the Wetland Conservation Act. So, again, if there are other future opportunities that are tied just to the district, they may be missed by the Hennepin County because of that board. I think the other part that a lot of the soil and water districts do across the state, and again, this is I'm not sure the role that the Hennepin district has played so far, but again, it's a lot of planning, water planning, long-range planning, and where the direction is, the public facilitation of how do we have these roles. The federal government has tied soil and water districts to a local work group to help guide some of the federal funds that get appropriated. We realize there are limited sources, but there's also with USDA, there's a tremendous amount of agricultural issues still in Hennepin County, so it does provide an opportunity for priority setting and some focus on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And, sir, if you'll identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kim Boyce. I'm the current chair of the Hennepin Conservation District Board. I was first elected in 2004, so I began in 2005, just after all the dramas that were referenced earlier. And while there is much of what was said is exactly the case. You know, it is it's been a very challenging public board to serve on because of the we don't have a lot of levers to use to leverage conservation stuff. That's why we have really enjoyed the cooperative agreement we've had with Hennepin County. We thought it was the best way to serve the conservation needs of the citizens of Hennepin County, even though the current board had very little leverage. One of the reasons we engaged in the cooperative agreement was in the very first round of Clean Water Legacy funding that needed to pass through a soil and water district, and we had two very large programs that were happening in Hennepin County at that time, and those would not have happened had it not been for a soil and water district. So I think that was an initial incentive. Our board has struggled, and we would admit that. We've struggled for what is our particular niche in a county where we have 60 other local units of government or special districts like watershed boards or watershed districts that are all dealing with natural resource issues or land management issues. We have taken on a couple of roles. One role is to be sort of a unique group to host forums, and in both 2009 and 2010, we invited all of the local elected all the local units of government to participate in some countywide conservation planning efforts to try to understand what are all the different conservation needs across Hennepin County, how can we try to work better together across the entire county, because people on the south side of the county don't necessarily connect with people on the north side of the county, be it a municipality or watersheds or whatever they might be. Those have had some success. We have also been an active member of the Minnesota the Metro Conservation Districts, and although we contribute every year to that organization, and as a result, we help support 2 to 3 landscape restoration specialists that provide very helpful work, especially in urbanized areas like you find in Hennepin County. Our cost share dollars have been used for both urban and rural types of interventions, and think that has been helpful. Again, one of the reasons our board has not taken a stand yet on this legislation, and our next meeting is Monday night, and I'm assuming we will probably have a vote at that point, is that we really have wrestled with and debated the merits of this. We recognize, I think the phrase we've used is, we have a very short lever and a very small fulcrum right now. There's not a lot we can do. That feels a bit frustrating, being an elected official. But we also recognize there's an important role for citizen oversight of conservation in a county as large as Hennepin. And that is a role that I think we continue to want to provide, or think it's important to provide. Whether that be through elected or appointed process, you know, it probably doesn't matter. But that role of citizen oversight is, I think, very important. We have very talented professionals that work all across Hennepin County doing conservation work, and that's great. But also, we really do believe that that citizen oversight, which was the initial intent of elected soil and water boards, is also an important role. You know, we're very interested in working on whatever kind of hybrid or other kinds of solutions we might find. And I think the very challenges that have been noted at your committee about how do you have streamlined government and, you know, provide things in a more efficient fashion are really important to do. So we're very excited to kind of keep pursuing that. That's why we did the cooperative agreement with Hennepin County in 2006, and that's why we continue to think that's at least a current workable solution until we get a larger process.
Thank you, Mr. Boyce, for your testimony. Questions, members, for Mr. Boyce? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to testify on the matter before the committee this morning? All right. Ms. Lavin, if you would go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment about a couple of items. The bill does provide for a continuation plan. Earlier I said that we called out WACA, specifically the Wetland Conservation Act, I'm sorry. But the statute also calls for a continuation plan, which Bowser would prepare to address the other issues, such as the Reinvest in Minnesota easement inspections, the cost share grant. That would all be covered under that plan that they would work out with Hennepin County in terms of moving this forward. Also, when this bill went through the Senate committee last week, there was an amendment made to provide for a mechanism to ensure that grants that the state had could be passed through to Hennepin County, given that we are not considered a district, and some of the statutory language would refer to districts. And so the language that was added in the Senate side indicated, for purposes of grants and other monies from the Board of Water and Soil Resources, Hennepin County is deemed to be a soil and water conservation district. This was to ensure that funding could come to the county and that there would be no disruption. And the other item that I wanted to mention, in terms of other funds that might be out there, the Clean Water Legacy Act funds and now the Clean Water Amendment funds that are out there, we are monitoring those in terms of what we can apply for to bring into Hennepin County to bring in additional resources. And we are closely watching where we can apply for those, where watersheds can apply for those, and don't anticipate that is necessarily going to be an issue in terms of bringing those funds into the county.
Representative Hornstein.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just one last comment. I know I've said a few things already, but, you know, again, I do have some concerns that a few of the functions will fall through the cracks, but I know that Representative Loeffler also deeply cares about the environment, and I know that she'll work with you on that. But I guess I would encourage maybe some thought about that Senate amendment. I just learned about that from Ms. Larson and now from you, and, you know, maybe that's worth pursuing in this bill. And, you know, I don't know if you have a thought about that, because... Again, I have some concerns about things falling through the cracks. And
Representative
Locke. That might be a way to patch up some of those cracks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein. I intentionally didn't offer that in this committee, in part because I felt that was more something that the Environment Committee would be dealing with, since they deal with those grants. And I'd gotten some feedback that some of the people connected with, like Bowser, felt like, well, if you're not going to have this elected board, you shouldn't be getting some of the money that is to support the elected officials, you know, the per diems and things like that. It felt like there were some issues that needed to be sort of sorted out about that, and so I felt like that was an issue that we could deal with in the committee that actually deals with those grant funds. And, you know, I do think
I wouldn't carry this if I didn't believe that Hennepin County wasn't 100% committed. I carried last year on a bipartisan support from throughout the county the riparian wetlands bill that the county initiated and was funded through the legacy funds. And so, I mean, I do think there's a commitment without a doubt about it. Why I agreed to take this bill was simply because I just didn't feel like the election process was working to assure our community and our county that we were electing people based on their qualifications for the job that they were being assigned, and the voters understood what it was they were going to do once they got there. And I totally am about public oversight and accountability, but it just hasn't been able to lift itself up. And there was an initiative that I helped with called Bob, Getting to the Bottom of the Ballot, about 4 or 5 years ago, that was trying to lift up citizen education about these kind of obscure offices and trying to get the candidates to go around and meet with the voters. And that just was not sustainable and workable either. So, I mean, I think we've tried a variety of ways in our huge communities to try and figure out how to get a little more of that information down into the elected process. And when we couldn't sustain that, I have come to the point where this may not be the right place for an election.
Representative Hornstein.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. And I do know that we probably all get that dreaded question from our constituents the night before the election. Hey, Frank, who should I vote for Board of Water and Soil Conservation? And I have
you
to
say
plead.
Representative Hornstein.
Yeah. Some of them do that. I hear that because that is one where I oftentimes have to plead ignorant. Thank you for that, and I guess in the Environment Committee you'll have a more focused discussion on this. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess in my district, of course, my cities are small. You could put all my cities in maybe a fifth of Hennepin County. But the people that I know and the Citizen Board people, the Soil and Water Conservation District people, are such committed environmentalists. I mean, this is all they do. They don't want to run for a large elective office. They really just want to concentrate on this small little area. And I think they just do a wonderful job. So as long as this is limited to, you know, what you think you want to do in Hennepin County, I guess I don't have a problem with that. I just question taking away a citizens board because I don't think we have enough of those, and I don't think we listen to them enough. And I certainly do, and I look into all these people who are running for these boards, and generally they come to me, so maybe that's why they question Representative Hornstein, because they assume that we maybe know these people a little bit better, because it is difficult for them to run for election. I understand that totally. But in my little district, I know these people, and I know how hard they work, and I really like what they do. I appreciate what they do.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Loeffler.
I wish my community could be as intimate to think that we knew our people. But I have to tell you, especially in our city of Minneapolis, which is just a tiny part, it's like 30% of Hennepin County, it has now become people's 15 minutes in fame to file an election and get to apply for offices. I think our last city election we had, you know, 11 to 14 people running for offices with names and I mean, I had someone who filed against me and who I really wanted to meet. She was a little old lady in one of our public high-rises, and I just thought she's someone who all of her life dreamed of elected office and said, I'm going to file before I die, and I just wanted to know her story. She never was home and never responded to my calls. She didn't respond to the newspaper or, you know, reporter's inquiries, and so I never did get to know her story. But I do think we do have people in our larger communities where people don't know each other who run to see their name on a ballot, sometimes not just out of a sense of public service. And I'm not saying that that's the majority of those large lists of names, but I think there are a few. And so that makes it hard for the citizenry because they don't know these people, and we don't get the press coverage. The Star Tribune is primarily a statewide paper. I mean, so you just don't know what's going on.
Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I'll second what she was just saying about that. We had an election last weekend in Brooklyn Park for mayor. We had 12 people on the ballot. I knew five of them, and I feel I'm pretty know my city pretty well, and there was people on the ballot that nobody knew who they were. They didn't respond. They didn't participate. But we had 12 people on the ballot, and we had a successful election, but it was just interesting. Like I said, so, I mean, it's, and that's, and we're a large city in Brooklyn, or in Hennepin County, but not as large as Minneapolis, but it's, you know, it's, we also don't always get to know our soil and water people and the county board. We know those people, and so.
Any other member questions? Representative Loeffler, did you want to make any closing comments this morning?
No, I just appreciate your time and the thoughtful discussion.
Before we do vote on this, I want to thank Representative Loeffler and Ms. Lavin and Ms. Buck and Mr. Boyce. I know that many of you were here yesterday and had to reappear today, so I appreciate your patience and those who are also close to this matter. We did have a rather timely item last week, and before I do move to the vote, I will ask if there are any amendments today.
No, okay. I have a thought for one, but it's probably best on the floor.
With that, and no other member questions, Representative Green renews her motion to pass House File 1645 from committee and have it be referred to the Environmental Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. No other business before the committee. The committee stands adjourned.